You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. We belong
together. All right, Minor Talk is live. Welcome aboard. One final time for the 2024-25 season. I'm Adrian Broaddus. I'm your host. Along with me is Sal Montes. We've got a full house, an absolute full house for the season finale, the year-end finale edition of Minor Talk. Zay Galindo in the house, Alberto Retta, George Guajardo, Chris from Inspo Lens. We got him out of hibernation. He was here. He set up in literally 5 minutes, and we are live on Inspo Lens. Check us out on Twitter and X. We are live there as well, so you could watch Minor Talk or listen to us right here, 600 ESPN El Paso and our 600 ESPN El Paso app. So let's do it. Minor Talk is live. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, and the season is over. Liberty absolutely wiped the Miners today. In this one, 81-60. Miners ran out of gas. It's the top team out of CUSA. And last year, Sal, they did it. They beat the team. They knocked off the CUSA regular season champs in Sam Houston. They did it, and they beat Liberty last year as well. And they made it all the way to the CUSA championships. This time around, they bow out in the quarterfinals. They are 18-15. That's what they finished out the season. 7-11 in conference play. And I will remember the 2024-25 season as a disappointment for UTEP basketball.
Yeah, definitely. Considering all the hype going into it, all the players that were coming back, the players that were added, ultimately did not just work out for the Miners. And the same way that 10-33 mantra was kind of pounded into everybody's chest so they can keep on beating it like that. But Liberty had that same mindset going into this game. Hey, this is the team that knocked us out of the Conference USA tournament last year and ruined the chance for a potential, I'll say potential, trip to the big dance. So, hey, man, this was a revenge game for them, just as this year was supposed to be a revenge season for the Miners.
Our telephone number to get things started on the show, 915-505-6009. We've got Jake joining us. We've got Kurt joining us. If you'd like to weigh in, 915-505-6009. I'm sure today will be a call intense show. After today's loss, we're asking people on Twitter and X, 600 ESPN El Paso at Twitter and X. After today's loss, what are your offseason wishes for UTEP basketball? Send it to us. Give us a call, 915-505-6009, or vote on our poll. We could only throw four different poll questions, so this is what we have. Okay, number one, reset the roster. Number two, decide after next year. Number three, extend Joe Golding. Number four, overhaul the program. And as of right now, there's been almost 100 votes. 66%, aka two-thirds of all our voters, Zay, have said overhaul the program. Fans are not happy with how the season ended, and as a result, they want change. I don't know what the future is. You heard Joe Golding afterward. He's already talking about off-season plans, so everybody who's saying Joe Golding's going to get fired or anything like that sounds a little crazy when your coach is out there already laying out the detailed plans of what's going on in the off-season. I don't want to say they were looking toward the off-season, Zay, but I think they're ready to pull the chapter out of the book, out of this one, maybe throw it in the trash can and kind of start anew, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty obvious that changes are imminent, whether that's, you know, on the roster or on the coaching staff, right?
True.
You could see some of those coaches, maybe leave UTEP, right? The assistant coaches that they have on the staff right now. And I think it's obvious that there needs to be some sort of change, right? Because this roster, although it looked like it was constructed correctly, everything, they gave us all the signs that this would be, you know, a team that was competing for a conference championship. I mean, at the end of the day, they were 15-15 against Division I opponents. You know, you end this season on, you know, you're 2-8, basically. If you don't count that FIU win, you're 1-8. So it was just really, really disappointing, and it's pretty obvious that Joe Golding sees that there needs to be a change, as well as, you know, UTEP fans.
You know, George, I'd say for the first half of this game, they had a chance. The Miners were in this game in the first half. The last 5 minutes of the first half were tough because that's where Liberty got the 10-point lead. And the second half, Liberty just shot themselves, or I would say UTEP just could not keep up with the shot-making that Liberty was putting up in the second half. They simply weren't missing. At one point, I think they were like 11 for 11 or 11 for 12 from the field.
Yeah, Adrian, UTEP started off that game, right, kind of carried over from that Sam Houston game. They were able to build what was a four-point lead, right, 3 minutes into the game, 17 minutes, right, and the district was bumping, right? It felt like the good vibes were flowing. Devin Barnes hit a big three, and Liberty had called a timeout, and you're like, oh, there's a pulse here. There might be something good brewing here. But, yeah, it just, once again, UTEP could not keep pace. Ended up shooting 21 for 58 from the floor, 31.8 from the three-point line. Just not enough, as you alluded to.
Yeah, I hear you there. Alberto, it was a disappointing football season and now a disappointing men's basketball season. How will you look back on this year in Minor Talk?
I guess just...
I would say it's a great year of Minor Talk.
Yes. Lots of memorable calls. I think lots of memorable moments. I think my favorite is still the Charlie Dodger call. That one's...
Wow. Favorite moment of this, this Minor Talk
right
year.
Now. Yes.
Trolley Hands Dodger. Down. Shout out you, Trolley Dodger. You were Alberto's favorite moment. We had a lot of great moments. And it's going to be sad not doing this weekly, doing this regularly. We get so busy at times during Minor Talk. We sometimes take it for granted. But, the district was packed today. It was a ton of people out there. We had a people there yesterday, you know. People joining us all season long. People joining us on Inspo Lens, on our live stream. People joining us on the radio, on our app, throughout the season, whether it was football or basketball. So we just, you know, we really appreciate all our listeners out there, all the people who called in all season long. And, you know, we got full phone lines before we even really started today's show. So that's a reflection of how much the fans care and how badly UTEP fans want to see a winner and want success. We got a shout out on ESPN Plus yesterday. Sal, I mean, come on. Like, things are we're going worldwide over here on Minor Talk.
Yeah, we're doing it big, man. That's what it's all about, evolution. And guess what? You don't got to wait that much longer because, I just contradicted myself. Kind of like to August for the next Minor Talk.
There you go.
Yeah, for the next on-air Minor Talk. Of course, we'll do fill-ins here and there.
You're saying we might have an emergency Minor Talk podcast coming up soon. I wonder what kind of news would make us do that kind of stuff.
Oh, man, we'll find out.
Well, yeah, we will find out. You will find out, Sal. You'll find out, that's for sure. To the phones we go. Jake is first with us. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and on X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Jake, good afternoon, or I should say good evening, man. What's going on? Liberty defeated UTEP 81-60. What'd you think of this game?
What's going on, Adrian? And I'll tell you guys one thing that will make y'all have an emergency podcast. It's Joe Golden losing his job. And I think it's just, it goes deeper than just today's game, man. I mean, hats off to Liberty. I mean, they're a good, well-coached team. They got great players, smart players, good shooters. It's just more than that, though. It's just the mediocrity that just keeps getting repeated year after year. Year one, 14 wins, 7 wins in conference. Year two, 18 wins, 7 wins in conference. And then this year, of course, 18 wins, 7 wins in conference. It just seems like the mediocrity is just accepted when it comes to UTEP basketball. And it's just, the fans deserve better. We want better. We expect better. And I think it's just, Golding seems like a nice guy and he's a great community person, but I think it might be time to expect better out of the program and maybe move on, because it's got a lot to do with the players, but I mean, who's recruiting those players? It's coach and, Lynch, if you can get guys to go to Lynchburg, Virginia, and Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and they're all outperforming us, then maybe something needs to change. And I think that's a hard conversation because Golding's a good guy, but I think we all need to start having it because we expect better. And, minor basketball hasn't felt that in years, man. So frustrated and just want to see better out of the minors. But I will say, you guys and Teicher, you guys are the media and the announcing is something UTEP Athletics does right, and I appreciate you guys.
Hey, Jake, real quick, before I let you go, because I think you bring up a lot of really good points, okay? In my eyes, this is just how I look at it with knowledge of the situation, but this is my eyes, okay? A month ago, if you had asked me what's going on in the future, I would have told you there's two avenues. UTEP right now is in a fork in the road, okay? One avenue is break up amicably, whatever that looks like. Break up amicably between both sides if it doesn't work out on both sides. The other side is extend. In my eyes, there's no chance he comes back to coach out just a one-year deal. Like, no one does that. Obviously, he has only one more year left on his original four-year contract. Next year will be year four of four. That's just how I look at things, Jake. So if I'm looking at this right there, and then I'm also saying, well, hey, the Mountain West is on the horizon as well, then I wonder what UTEP does in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, do we want – like, obviously, like you guys were saying, and, you know, it's common sense that you're going to get some better recruits when you join the Mountain West, you know, because you got a better chance of being on TV, more NIL money, all that kind of stuff. But do we want our coach leading in the Mountain West to be Joe Golding, who is – so far in his tenure at UTEP, proven to be in the lower half of the conference and mediocre records. And especially, it seems like we start off well, and then we dive deep into this hole where it seems like we're getting worse progressively. Like, I don't know, man. David Terrell is a great player, and he gets on the court and because he has of his defense abilities and his leadership, but it seems like he hasn't improved on his jump shot one bit. It seems like Otis Frazier's decision-making late in the year got worse. Like Kevin Kalu, his confidence got shot. It seems like the only offensive playmaker we did have was Ahmad Bynum. And then he was in the doghouse all year for whatever reason. You know, maybe he wasn't a good team chemistry guy. But it just seems like for some reason Coach Golding hasn't figured out the offensive side of the ball. And I think, you know, you can't compete in Mountain. If you can't compete in Conference USA with this, you're definitely not going to compete in Mountain West. And I don't know. It's tough questions ahead, but I'm glad I'm not the one in charge of hiring coaches.
Me neither. Me neither. I'm definitely with you on that. Jake, you know your UTEP basketball. I appreciate your call. Thank you for the kind words that you threw our way. Any other wishes that you have in the offseason for you?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that if Golding stays, I hope we can get some recruits, and I hope they, you know, if you talk to anyone in El Paso, man, you know, I'm 24 years old. So all my family, my parents, they all saw the glory days, man, those 80s, 90s Haskins basketball. You know, even early 2000s, you know, we weren't the best, but it seemed like we were competitive some years. You know, of course, the year we made the dance with Barbie. It's just, I just want the players to have that same passion that some of these older fans have. And, you know, it just doesn't seem like, it seems like they're okay with mediocrity. And I'm just hoping that things change around, man, because I promise you, when UTEP succeeds, there's going to be a lot of people backing them up, and I'll be the first one to be there in that tournament when they make it. So, you know, go Miners, go football. Hope Scotty Walden's, you know, got something brewing for the football team, and I'll be listening. So,
appreciate you, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Great phone call there by Jake. We'll give reactions later on, but we got to burn through more calls. 915-505-6009. Special shout out to Steve Escajeda, who checks in. Our pal, Football Friday Night, Steve Escajeda. The Miners have to get bigger next season. Everybody seems to say that the getting a talented big man is easier said than done, but everybody we play seems to have one or two. Hashtag Miner Talk. I want to comment on that in just a second, but let's keep it moving. Kurt is next with us. 915-505-6009. Kurt, good evening, man. What's going on?
How you doing, guys? First of all, I want to say great job all season long. All you guys have done a wonderful job, along with John Teicher, like you always do, very professional. And second, I think it's time to wipe the slate clean. I mean, we got to start fresh. With NIL, we got to put more money in. And going to Mountain West, I think we need to bring another new coach in who can recruit and get some big guys in here down low in the post and some more shooters and just start clean, because I don't think Golding's in 4 years. He has not done the job in 4 years. So with that said, what are your opinion on that?
Okay, so you're saying complete reset. You want a complete overhaul there, Kurt. Yes. My thoughts on this would be a complete overhaul would require a couple things, right? So Golding, for his final year, set to make $750,000. You're talking about a program already that doesn't have a lot of money, that just spent a big chunk of change to go over to the Mountain West, right? And then you're also, right. You already mentioned that NIL stuff. So I'm with you on just trying to recruit better players. But if you're talking about buyout dollars, if you're talking about, you know, trying to do something like that and also have that money or those funds ready to go for the Mountain West, I just feel like that's where it starts to get, the bill starts to rack up. Should you settle for mediocrity as a fan? Of course not. I'm with Jake, like kind of like what Jake was saying, like the, you know, kind of looking back into the early 2000s, the mid 2000s, the early 2010s, like those days where they were regularly competitive in conference play and gave themselves a good shot to win the conference tournament and a good shot to win the regular season tournament. Forget just the CUSA tournament. They were competing for regular season titles. Kurt, over the last 3 years, you know, and I'm looking at 3 years. Yes, the last three seasons for Golding, 7-13 in 2022 and 23, 7-9 last year in conference play. This year, 7-11 in conference play. I'm shocked it dropped to that, but it ended up being that.
Yeah, it's sad it's happened, and I think it's time for a change. But I don't know what's going to happen. But like you said, the buyout, you know, UTEP probably can't pay all that money to buy him out. But with that being said, we do need a UTEP basketball is always been at the forefront of a premier basketball team to, you know, go forward with. So I hope that something's done soon.
Okay, Kurt, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. I appreciate you always chiming in on the program, especially for UTEP Hoops. Zay, I'm going to bring you back in on this because I got a question for you. It's kind of a tougher one, right? If UTEP had extended Golding at the end of last year when they made the CUSA tournament run all the way to the championship, do you think fans would feel differently then up to now than they would if Golding does get an extension moving forward?
Yeah, I think most definitely, you know, if they did extend Golding at the end of last year, right, when they make the championship run, I mean, it would have made sense, right? Year one, you win 20 games, right? Year two is a bit of a rebuilding year for Joe, and then year three, you make the conference championship game. That's a good, you know, progression throughout his UTEP tenure. And now, if he does get that extension, it just looks a little weird, right? Because it was year four, you know, he's had time to set his culture, had time to recruit his guys, and he really doesn't have anything to show for it now at the end of this season. So it wouldn't make sense, I guess, on my end and what I'm seeing, that he got that extension, if he does, right? So I don't know how people would react to it now versus how they would have done it back then.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, if he does get that extension now, that reception won't be as positive as it would have been back then.
Yeah, I think last year at the end, I mean, approval rating was through the roof for Golding, for the staff, for the program, for the future, everything. I think everybody was bought in, and I think that's why fans feel so let down today. Like, maybe let this one simmer for a month or set in for a month. Let this team go out on the recruiting trail in the offseason, see who they can grab, see who they can retain, right? That's the other side to it, and then make your assessment on kind of what the direction looks like for UTEP basketball. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's going to be an interesting week or two for UTEP basketball to see who ends up leaving, who ends up staying. And Sal, we do it every year. Every single year, every single team, we do our wish list. We do the prospects who could join. We look for wish lists. We do all this kind of stuff. When is UTEP going to actually hit that full reset? When are they going to actually do something where they can, you know, make you kind of feel excited going the off season where you don't have to get to work on Monday? When can you actually take the trip to Cancun and enjoy the season, Sal, instead of having to get to work right on Monday and start recruiting right away? You heard heard Golding. He's not taking any. He's not wasting any time. They're getting to work right away.
Yeah, it's business as usual. You know, that's the mindset that he always has. And I understand the frustration of a lot of people because going into this year, all of those expectations were there based off of that that run that they had late. But that was such a late run, though. It was very rare to see. But, I mean, if you're kind of going off trends and stuff, first year, 20 wins. Second year, not really that successful. Third year, championship run. Fourth year, you know, a letdown. Odd year Joe?
Odd year Joe. 2025-26, maybe. Maybe that's the case. Tyler is next with us. Then it's James. 915-505-6009. Phones keep coming in. Let's do it. Tyler, good evening, man. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well,
not
Tyler.
Not that good.
We're hanging in.
The rest of the UTEP fans.
We're hanging in, Tyler.
Yeah,
we're hanging in.
I mean, I think the biggest thing, I mean, obviously, I think everybody that's on the phone lines and thinking about UTEP basketball is kind of the future, especially with Coach Golding, you know. And when he got hired, I think because a bunch of El Pasoans, including myself, I was really happy with the hire. I thought he was the right fit and everything. And I still think he might be able to be the right fit for this program. It's just kind of baffling to me how it seems every year in his tenure, UTEP kind of has a shining spot in the beginning of the year. They look good offensively, look good defensively, and really falter off towards the end of the year. It seems like that's been the case for the past four that I've watched them. And it just continues to baffle me how it just, you know, it looks promising, and then something happens, you know. And it looked like this year might have happened with whatever happened with Amon Bynum. I don't know if it messed up chemistry, but they went on a seven-game skid after he pretty much got suspended, so. It's just kind of confusing to me, man.
People pointed that out to us yesterday. People did say that. Yeah. And remember, who's the guy who hit the game winner against Liberty the first time they won?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, at least with, I mean, honestly, the only people that are going to know what happened were the people in the locker room. So it's just kind of weird. I mean, he was our biggest shot creator, I felt, and, you know, a big talent. Something obviously went wrong there and affected the locker room for that seven-game skid. And when you go on something like that, it's really hard to recover, especially for a conference tourney.
It is. And then now it's also like, what do you do after your locker room was fractured off of that? Do you try to bring some guys back and, you know, see who can run it back next year with you? Or do you feel good about what happened at the end of this year as far as like finality and try to maybe hit a bit of a reset button for the roster? Like, take the staff aside, you know, the roster itself is going to be interesting to see who stays on and how much continuity plays a role into UTEP's recruiting.
Yeah, and that's a big thing too, because it's just one of the things that me and my friends and my family always talk about is just how sometimes, you know, MSU looks like they grab bigger recruits or they get guys more than UTEP does. And what's crazy to me is you have to fly into El Paso to get to Las Cruces. You know, like, they drive by UTEP to go to Las Cruces and they see the campus at, you know, in El Paso, and not knocking anything on MSU, you know, they've been a good basketball program for the last few years, but it's really sad as a minor fan to see that happen. And, you know, MSU has a shot to go to the semifinal tonight and or in a couple of days, and we're sitting here at home now.
You know, that's a good point, and I always welcome the comparisons. Like, some people will shoot down the comparisons, man, but I'm always somebody who's like, look, you compare the two because they're right next to each other, but UTEP should really big brother the little brother that should be New Mexico State. But look at the recent success, right? Like, over the last decade, you're talking about two bowl wins for New Mexico State in football. You're talking about two appearances to the NCAA tournament in basketball. You're talking about an NBA killer in Pascal Siakam who went through the New Mexico State ranks. I don't know if that counts, Sal, but I'm gonna make it count right there for New Mexico State. Regardless of all of that right there, I'd just say that the Aggies, they, like, I even look at it on paper too. NIL, UTEP's got about $400,000 in NIL. NMSU, like, $200,000. So it's like they've got double the NIL. They've got more resources, a better, you know, the Don Haskins Center is a better arena than the Pan Am Center. You could argue, well, no, you can't argue. You'll say it by facts. UTEP has a better history in basketball than New Mexico State, despite New Mexico State having some really good stretches during their time and, you know, having the upper hand when it comes to the rivalry. But I'd say, you know, if you're doing the comparison game, you're going to say that out of the last decade in the money-making space, sports, New Mexico State, despite the scandal, despite what happened that one year where their program basically shut down, they still have the better basketball program as of right now. That's just one of those things you have to look in the mirror and understand that is it is what it is. It's a reality.
Yeah, and they're back to it again. You know, they're back to being, you know, just as good as UTEP was, and they had a whole scandal. It's just, it's really infuriating as a minor fan, and I just hope, you know, if it's not with Golding, if it's with somebody new, it turns it around. I mean, I love what Scotty Walden's doing. He's bringing a good energy to the football program. I just hope, you know, I really liked Golding's energy. I thought it was going to be the same fit, but obviously it hasn't been, I think, the same fit as he had the success at Abilene. But if not, you know, wish the best to the Goldings. I mean, they're, you know, brought some good moments along the last 4 years, and, you know, appreciate the, you know, championship berth they gave us last year, at least, that a shot at getting to get to the dance.
Yeah, I hear you, Tyler. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. James is next up with us. But before we get to James, Zay, I got to ask you, and I'll bring you in, too, on this, Sal, and Alberto and George. Why is everybody so high on football?
The recruiting. I think the recruiting, it brings momentum. And then, you know, at the end of last year, they I'm not going to say they caught fire, but they beat the Aggies, they beat Kennesaw State. They took care of business in some pretty exciting ways. And that's really all that I think most fans want to see, right?
Okay.
And I think that's the biggest point. And, I mean, he's got the former number one overall player in the country. Like, that's never been done.
Okay, fair. Okay, good answers, Sal. But I have to say, did everybody forget the month of September? I have to ask that. Did everybody
Yes.
forget the month of September?
Of course they did. And the reason why is because UTEP went on the road and beat their rival, New Mexico State, to close out the year. That's exactly why. Then you parlay that with another successful recruiting class. Look, I was so down after that loss. I'm like, I don't care how the hell they play the rest of the year. This is an embarrassment. But you know what? I think going into last year, three wins was more or less realistic with one of those in the anticipation, so to speak. And one of those wins, or all of their wins, were Division I teams. It wasn't against the FCS team that they played. They wound up losing to, and it sucks, but you win three Division I games in really your first true stint as a D1 or a FBS head coach, so to speak. So this year, obviously, the expectations are going to be a lot higher, but I mean, first true stint and you get three wins, what's the build off of that, right? Is it going to be 4-6? And then in year three, assuming, you know, he's here and after a successful year, what's going to be the expectation? 6+. So if you can make those jumps, those steps here and there, it's a lot to get excited about. And going out with a bang last year was a good start.
I agree with that. Well, I could see where you're coming from for that. Like, it's not necessarily how you start, it's how you finish.
Exactly.
Football.
Yeah,
I could get behind that. George and Alberto, I'll ask you, Alberto, first, because you got a chance to cover a lot of UTEP football games as well. Why are people so excited about football season?
I think the fan base and the city as a whole are just eager for a winning football team. So, you know, the Malachi Nelson signing has kind of thrown everyone into a frenzy, and everything Zay said, he took it all out of my mouth. So I think it just all coupled together, and they're excited.
George, is there anything else that we didn't cover for football?
Yeah, one of the things that I want to point out is, well, a couple of things, is that the belief that the team, that his players, that the players, I think, in general have in Coach Walden, especially the younger guys. But if you look into the, I guess, the stats of last year, speaking with Cade McConnell one time, he highlighted that UTEP was 14 points away from being 6-6 and going to a bowl game. I mean, that sits all right after year one, right? Especially when it's coming from a quarterback who missed most of the season. They also missed Skylar Locklear. They had a lot of injuries, right? So I think that's one of the reasons why UTEP fans are looking forward to football.
Okay. I guess you guys kind of convinced. I'm always looking for football, forward to football, because I'm a football guy. But there's a couple things that you guys said that I have to roll my eyes on. I just need to see it. Like, I've seen losing football for too long. I just need to see the wins in order to get to buy in on the hype. Like, that's when I'll buy in on the hype, and that's when I'm sold on everything. But, you know, until that point, I don't know if I can get there. And I think it's hard to win in college football at UTEP's level. Like, I think for UTEP, for where they're at, I think it's tough, but Yeah, I appreciate the takes, you guys. You guys gave some good defense there for the onto the football season mantra right there. Hey, I'd say this. Spring ball starts Monday. I'll be out there. I'm looking forward to it and hearing what's the latest for football. James is next with us, 915-505-6009. We've been pinging around some really good calls. We're welcoming more phone calls. If you've been trying to get in on the show, but it's been busy, give us a call now, 915-505-6009. Minor Talk continues, presented by Jack in the Box. We'll get to our hot hand of the game, presented by Wind Supply El Paso, later in the show. James, good evening, man. What's going on?
Good evening. First of all, I wanted to thank you guys for a great show. And thank you also for always bringing us home almost safely. And I'm feeling good. I mean, at least because it gave us a venue to complain, to voice our concerns after the basketball season and certainly this football season. But I think it's time for a complete change there at the university. And I'm not a Joe Golding fan. I think, and I thought it was a mistake to bring him in. I think he was way below the level of coaches that we need here, the level of recruits that we were bringing in. And I think this, we're banking too much on NIL. I mean, look at all these, some of the more successful schools. Where have they gone to recruit outside of the U.S.?
The mud.
Now, how do you
not even just outside of the U.S.,
NIL?
James? It's not just real quick, James. It's not just international players. They're finding players from like diamonds in the rough and really having success.
Absolutely, you're right. And I'm talking about pounding the pavement in Mexico and Costa Rica and Dominican Republic and Serbia. Look at the volleyball team. Look at who we brought. Pound the pavement, guys, and you can compensate for this NIL by hard work. You don't need 5-7 all-stars. You need maybe 2 or 3. And then you can start developing a winning program. But I just don't believe that we're doing it. We have big companies here in El Paso. We have huge corporations in Juarez. Who is pounding the pavement? Who is going out there and knocking on every single door of every single business in El Paso? I know for a fact it doesn't happen. Because I was an executive there for one of the world's largest manufacturers of electronics, and nobody ever approached me. And really, at that point, I was acting for the CEO for that corporation. Nobody ever approached me from UTEP, ever. So, again, guys, great job, but I think it's time for a change. And I'm not even sure that Senna is the right guy. Look at the hires we've had, other than Coach Wallace. My God, we have fallen so far from the rung of the ladder that it's unreal. But again, guys have done a great job, always bringing a different insight into everything. And thank you. Go Miners.
Hopefully. James, real quick. Are you retired, James?
I am retired recently, but after 36 years.
All right, congratulations on retirement. I was going to ask you if you, I mean, we could have knocked on your door for Minor Talk and asked for a sponsorship or something. What do you think, Sal? Watch parties over at the place where James was the CEO at previously?
Yes, let's do it.
Maybe,
give me the address.
Maybe so. Yeah, give us the address. Good stuff. No, but in all seriousness, James brings up a great point. Like, you also want to ask, who's doing the boots on the ground? Who's asking for all these things? And UTEP is trying to get the word out for the first time, and they did it for the first time this year in terms of NIL. Like, hey, we need help. This is, you know, these are the different plans. This is how you can directly help benefit. They've done a job of like trying to get that word out there to begin with. But we've suggested on Sports Talk, Steve's talked a lot about it, but like community town halls for like NIL, inviting people out to just let them know what NIL really is, how it could directly impact, benefit, and help and support the universities and stuff like that. But, you know, to the James point, and I'll bring you, Zay, back into this, the point about NIL, there are other programs that are doing more with less. So how much does NIL actually weigh in, like, wins or losses?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, right? That, you know, there are some programs that do more with less, like you said. They don't have that NIL advantage that maybe UTEP does or other teams in their conference, and they're still able to, you know, get the W's in there. But at the end of the day, money talks, right? And if you have enough NIL and you have more NIL than anybody else, you're eventually going to get it right within a five-year span, right? You're going to have a really, really good team because, like I said, money talks. And, yeah, I mean, I do agree with the fact that UTEP probably does need to look elsewhere with some of the recruits, like the international, right? They really – that's tough with NIL. They can't really make an NIL.
But good point, yeah.
You have to have an incredible scouting team to find those guys. And look at the transfers that UTEP has gotten in. They're big-time names. Zid Powell was not as good as we expected. Devon Barnes, sad to say, besides this game, he really just didn't step up the whole season. And, you know, you look with the UTEP women's basketball team, they're built heavily on the international game, and they were not very good this year. So at the end of the day, you're really hit or miss with those international players, and that's not something UTEP can afford right now to try and develop those guys. They need to win now. Fans are fed up with mediocrity. They need now, and the only way they're going to get, you know, real quick change is through NIL.
It's got to be seniors, Sal. I like the freshman route of how they develop some of the young guys like KJ Thomas or David Terrell Jr. Those are the two most recent examples right there. Next year, they're going to bring D'Eric Barber Jr., a point guard from Cleveland, Ohio. He's going to be one of the guys that they bring in. He's a three-star player that they landed over the transfer portal, or I should say over the offseason recruiting. They also are bringing one more other guy into the mix as well. But point is, Sal, you kind of need some of those older guys too. I think if I had a wish list for UTEP basketball recruiting, I'd hope that UTEP can go out and get a difference maker five, like center, like Bryson Williams type of thing. And maybe that's asking way too much. Maybe I sound completely ignorant when I say that kind of thing.
It's hard to find a Bryson Williams out there in the first place. But no, man, you guys are absolutely right. If you want to win now, you got to throw out the biggest bag to try and attract some of the more top-tier talent, because sure, there's diamonds in the rough and there's players who can blossom into, you know, a double-double machine or whatever the case is, but sometimes it might not happen for 2-3 years, and that time span is not quick enough. You know, people want change a lot quicker than a microwave can pop out some popcorn, so... Yeah.
Good point. I mean, I'd also say that the other player or the other guy that UTEP recruited and signed was Bobby Montgomery Jr., a three-star recruit from Mount Zion Prep, another Mount Zion guy. Otis Frazier III, Elijah Jones, and Devin Barnes all came from Mount Zion Prep. So there you go. As far as some of the signings that they have for next year's class, those are the only two guys who have been committed so far. I think we'll get to our predictions or get to our wish list on players to bring back. We also have to do the fantasy wrap-up at some point, the UTEP basketball
it's
fantasy
the emergency
wrap-up.
Episode.
Yeah, that's the real podcast we should have had the follow-up for, the emergency podcast to talk to the pointless, stupid fantasy basketball that we have here on our program. But nonetheless, a couple tweets to get to, and then we'll get back to the phones. 915-505-6009. If you've been trying to weigh in on UTEP basketball, now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Daniel, underachieving. To be quite honest, Golding outside of last year's USA Championship appearance really hasn't done much to get the next level, the NCAA tournament. Their teams looked unprepared and lost these last couple games, and they shouldn't. I think it's fair to ask about future status about UTEP. Manny David, down by 10 at half. This one got away from UTEP in the second half. Still support the players and coaches on a good season. Hopefully, we'll get most everyone back next year, plus some good newcomers to fill some needs and voids. The Flames will make the tournament and will likely advance to the round of 32. I wouldn't be surprised to see them get the Sweet 16. Still proud of UTEP basketball and Golding. Wishing you a good offseason and a successful season in 2025 and 26. Go Miners. Leo, they need to let Golding go. Hashtag results speak. Hashtag no hard feelings. He'll land on his feet somewhere. It would be great for UTEP to retain a few of these guys, but no hard feelings if they wanted to explore their options. Still supporting no matter what, and will always will. Trey Politz, UTEP isn't in Liberty's league. They were way more talented than UTEP and so much better coach team. I hope UTEP fires Joe Golding and finds a coach that knows how to recruit. Golding is probably the worst UTEP coach ever. Your honest opinion, Adrian, is Golding gone? Minor talk is number one. Manny David, likely advance to the round of 30. Oh, I already read that one. No, this is Trey Politz. No way am I renewing my season tickets if Golding ain't fired. A waste of money. We'll be no different next year, probably worse. Please find a better fit for UTEP. Sun City deserves better. Fire Golding. Pick my axe 915. This is what he says. It will be a rebuilding year. Better term is probably build next year, regardless of who the coach is. Might as well move on from Golding and give a new coach a shot at getting us ready for the Mountain West. Golding failed. This is snappy. Coaching change, otherwise nothing matters. This is from sad UTEP fan. Kamani Young would be awesome. He has UTEP ties, actually been with the program, that won consistently and worked with some good coaches. Really have to wait till the dust settles after the tournament, but he would definitely be number one for now. I'm going to just say this. There is no way I will get a calf tattoo, and maybe even a face tattoo, if Kamani Jones Young is the head coach of UTEP basketball this fall. There is no way. There's no way. Get that name out of the discussion. No chance.
This name popped up after in the last coaching search, right? In the rumors, who knows how close that really was? But this was a name that a lot of people had mentioned that they wanted to come coach at UTEP before we even find out who the finalists were.
There's no chance. No chance.
Face tat.
No. Where? No chance.
Like what part? The forehead?
Teardrop. A teardrop. Because there's no chance. Because I'd be changing my line of work if that's the case. There's no chance. There's no chance. He's got the Northeast Pipeline. UTEP was his school that he went to. You know, he was the university that he went to school at. He's an alumni of UTEP. He obviously has the ties to UTEP. All those things are great. His pipeline and his recruiting ties are all to the Northeast, George. There's no chance. Kamani Jones Young, there's no chance.
No chance. Not just that. Fiscally, didn't he just sign an extension worth over 800 grand, right? He's
so what's the pay bump
here.
Look like? The pay bump looks like 1.5 million. Let's just say. And UTEP's not there yet. UTEP doesn't have that pay bump.
No way.
Okay, let's keep it moving. More on Twitter next. Leon's going to join us here in just a little bit. Try to cool me down here. One more thought for UTEP conversation's sake. Is it possible that one of UTEP's alumni would want to come on as an advisor, much like what Steph Curry is doing at Davidson? NIL? However, I don't know how many of them would have the kind of money that he has. Hashtag minor talk. P.S. I know it's not all money. There are programs doing more with less. It's with the future in mind as well as with the NIL. Ooh, now this is opening up a can of worms. I know we got a couple calls to get to, but guys, here's some homework. Here's some homework while we take these two calls right here. While we talk to both Leon and Jacob. Everybody's going to give a name. Of their, like, let's say UTEP unlimited budget has a general manager. Okay, unlimited budget. I need names of your wish list of like who that general manager would be. Just one. It's a one person job, and it's got to be somebody who obviously, like Steph Curry, can help support Davidson. He's going to help over with Davidson. Now, is he going to help out financially? Probably with Steph Curry. In this role, you don't have to make it financially. Like, you don't have to pick the richest UTEP basketball alumni or the most famous ones. So everybody around the round table has this task ahead of them, or we're going to go back to this one from Leo _ minor fan. We got a lot to keep going with. We got Rodney Terry storyline to get caught up with. We got to catch up with the fantasy wrap up. We've got to give our wish list ourselves for next year. We've got a lot to continue to talk about here on Minor Talk, so let's keep it going. 915-505-6009, that's our telephone number if you would like to weigh in. Leon, welcome aboard. Good evening. What's going on?
Hey, good evening. Just to give a lot of thanks, man. You guys do a fantastic job. So does John. I mean, we're very, very blessed here in El Paso to have a type of show like this, just event or talk about UTEP sports. And also, it doesn't get much better than John Teicher. So all of you guys, round of applause on another great season, at least from a media standpoint.
At least we're back. At least they saved us, Leon. We made it back another season. We're doing something right.
Well, there's got to be a reason why. And I'll make you one more bet. Adrian, if UTEP gets Kamani Jones Young, I'm going to get a face tattoo of you on my back. All right.
It will never happen. It will never happen, Leon. It will never happen.
But, you know, the last comment you made, nothing really to talk about on the game if you want to talk about what to do next, but you mentioned the general manager, a name that doesn't get thrown out much, and particularly this season, right? Because there was some type of people management issue if Bynum was the one person you're going to say, corrupted the issue with this team. This is a people management situation. And if the player representative was Antonio Davis back in the day. It would be great to bring him in as a consultant just to see where we're at, what's going on. I'm not quite sure what he's doing, but if he has people skills, I think the Miners could have direly need that this season because there was too much talent for what we saw to have happen at the end of the season. And then you ask yourself, right, if you're a returning player, the way this ended, would you come back? I wouldn't. If there's other opportunities out there and they're available, and, you know, when Golding said he's got to do things different, maybe it's the coaching, maybe it's some of the assistant coaches, but we got to do something different, man. And I agree with you guys. We got to find some type of big, burly, busky, you know, old Haskins rebounding defense, mean type person down low. Kalu played that role sometimes, but, you know, God, get some hands, man. Poor guy today could have scored, or at least this tournament scored another 20 points. But, hey, he's a senior. Congratulations to him. Hey, man, let's see what happens. If I get that face tattoo, maybe I'll be happy, Adrian. You guys have a good night.
Good stuff, Leon. I appreciate you. 915-505-6009. Jacob's next with us. Jacob from the Catalina Islands, my friend. What's going on?
Hi, Adrian. First and foremost, I want to thank you and all the Miner Talk crew for letting me call in off season and encouraging me to call in. But today, they came out strong. It just, I don't know what happened in the second half. It just, like, everything kind of fell apart. No offense. That was, like, the real thing today. And in the second half, like, I think our defense wasn't there as it was yesterday. There was a lot of too many open shots that were uncontested. But I'll be calling you guys next season for sure. But no matter what, I'll still support UTEP.
Jacob, what grade are you in?
Eighth.
Okay, what high school are you going to next year?
Burgess.
Okay, you're a sharpshooter, right? Like, you're a sharpshooter killer from basketball perspective, right?
I would say so.
Okay, so we're going to have to keep an eye on you. What are we talking about? Class of 2030? What are you right now? What's your class as far as classification goes? Do you know?
2029.
All right, I got it down. Jacob from Burgess, class of 2029, sharpshooter. Maybe future UTEP recruit? What do you say, Jacob?
Hopefully
so. Get in the gym, man. Good stuff. Hey, Jacob, I appreciate you calling us all season long. You've been at it with great takes. You're an educated UTEP fan. You come from a family of educated UTEP fans. And, yeah, I appreciate your phone call as always, man. Thank you for weighing in. Thank you for contributing to our local hoops community, too. So see you on the court soon, man. I'm looking forward to that. All right, guys, let's go around the room. Let's talk about the general manager or whatever this role looks like and whoever it could be. It's got to be a personality, and it's got to be somebody who's got some UTEP roots. So let's start with you, Alberto. Give me a name. Give me a player. Give me somebody who you want to see as the general manager for UTEP.
The first person that came to my mind was Tay Hardy.
That's funny. Quit the Mongolia job and come over and come over and be the general manager.
Yeah, he's just he's a younger guy. He's a quiet guy. He's really a no nonsense kind of guy. Not really a big messing around. So the reason I like him is I want someone younger in the role that can kind of relate to the players, and he just brings the money, no nonsense, tells how it is, and tells you how much.
Wow, Chris from Inspo Lens with an amazing one. Okay, he doesn't have a mic over here, else I'd give him a mic. I'm gonna just read it exactly how he said. He threw out Julian Stone, respected as a high IQ team first player, translates well to a good front office or advisory role. He has experience of overcoming adversity in his playing career, and life makes him a relatable leader for young athletes. Of course, I agree with that. Having played professionally, he has relationships with NBA scouts, agents, and international teams, which could then help players from UTEP with exposure. He can help identify under-the-radar talent and bring players who fit UTEP's system. He could mentor current players on what it takes to reach the next level. And for, like, a general manager, Chris writes, overseeing roster construction, recruiting, and NIL strategy, a basketball advisor, assisting the head coach with strategy, player development, and scouting. Player development coach, she's working hands-on with guards and helping them improve, and a recruiting liaison using the connections to help UTEP attract quality transfers and high school talent. Great name, Julian Stone, and a lot of people compare David Terrell Jr.'s game with Julian Stone, so I like that one a lot. I love it. Great job, Chris, with the comparison. Sal, let's go to you. Let's go with your name right here. Can you throw a name for us?
You know what? Originally, my first thought was Antonio Davis, but I can't do that because that name has been mentioned. There's a dark horse name, but I'm afraid this one's just going to be snatched up, so I got to say it. Randy Culpepper.
Not dark horse. I think that's the favorite.
That's not my dark horse name. I'm not going to say who, but just in case, I'll say it in case he doesn't get mentioned. But I mean, you have Kevin Durant mentioning your name. That's enough said, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just like, look, trailblazers, pioneers of the sport, guys who like did stuff so like ahead of their time. If Randy Culpepper played in 2025, he'd be a seven-figure NIL college basketball player and might be a borderline NBA talent.
Yeah.
That's it.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean,
the game has changed so much since he was last in college as well.
Yes.
I mean, Stephen Curry was in his infancy of stardom in the NBA at that point, right? But I'm not saying he's exactly Steph, but a smaller guard who can go out there and just shoot the lights out. But this guy happened to jump out the gym as well and was a big name, a big, big name out there in Memphis.
Okay, I'm going to go with my name, then we'll go to George, then we'll go to Zay, okay? Zay will close it out with the general manager talk, okay? I'm going to throw a wild one, and everybody's going to go crazy, okay? Aaron Jones. Why did anybody say Aaron Jones? Aaron Jones played for UTEP basketball. UTEP football hadn't asked Aaron Jones anything yet. They never asked him any kind of NIL stuff. Look at the football program. They went out and got Will Hernandez and Quentin Demps to be their celebrity coaches for the spring game. I get it, but imagine telling Aaron, hey, you got this courtside seat for you every single game. Every single game. Just put us on the map. Just be the guy who champions our name. Be the guy who behind the scenes, you're talking UTEP basketball. We're sending you jerseys left and right, Aaron. You can wear it ahead of the games and stuff like that. You don't even need to do much. We just need you maybe to be the closer. Like when we're going to bring in a high-level recruit in town, why didn't anybody think Aaron Jones? He played basketball.
You know what the crazy part is? If that were to come to fruition, there's already such a solid foundation in the community with Aaron Jones, you know?
Let's do it Aaron and Alvin.
You, Aaron and Alvin. You just build on top of it. Yeah, A&A all the way.
A&A all the way? Co-managers? Co-GMs? Something like that? I think it could work. Okay. George, let's go to you. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to reach in the, like Sal did. He took my guy. I was going to go with Randy Culpepper, but I'm going to go with Stephon Jackson. I just think that this offense is broken, and a guy like that could really, really tailor, you know, an offense to fire on all cylinders. But not just that. I think he could, like, really gain a good understanding of, like, NIL and what it means to be, like, a high-level talent playing at a mid-major school at a high level, you know, and attract ballers to this school, frankly, because he was a ice cold baller.
He was, and he's joined us in studio before to talk things like NIL, talk things like, you know, UTEP, how much he cares still. He's got time on his hands. That would be an interesting name. Culpepper, by the way, is still playing, which is just insane. Like, he's just wrapped up a year in Egypt. That's crazy. Julian Stone doesn't play anymore, at least from what I see. I could be wrong on that, but everything from what I've seen, I don't think he's playing anymore. And then some of the other names, like we mentioned, of course, Antonio Davis, far removed from his playing days. All right, Zay, give me the name.
It's tough being last.
Yeah, it was tough.
I was going to say Aaron Jones. I was going to say Randy Culpepper. So I had three names in mind. So luckily the third one wasn't taken. I guess this one's a little cheap, but he's only down the road. He's already a proven coach, Tevin Caldwell. Or you go a little bit more down the road, Eugene Costello, both UTEP alums, both basketball players, both have connections to the city already. So, you know, they're already basketball coaches. They already know how to put some teams together, some good teams that be. So, yeah.
Can I also say that both of them have connections to high-level guys who play college basketball right now?
Yes, they do. They do.
And one who's going to play next year, Jaden Leverett. So I like that name. I like Tevin Caldwell. That's a great one, Sal. That one made me smile.
It's good.
Because that one's like realistic. Like, there's like, yeah. I wonder how. And the catapult could be there, right? Because, you know, you make it to the Elite Eight in year one of coaching at the head basketball level at varsity in Chapin. Catapult could be there.
It's through the mud, too. This isn't just, hey, you got a big name. Here are the keys to the car. It's like, no, he had to you know, mop some floors in the driveway, all just to get into the car. So, no, I love it.
Good segment right there on the program. We went on a little tangent. Thank you, Leo. I appreciate it. We had somebody throw that our way a while back, and we wanted to get back to this one. So good stuff. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Let's go back to Twitter, a couple other tweets to get to, and then we'll get back to the phone lines here on the show. Steve on Wrestler, with all due respect, the options for resetting the roster for an overhaul are meaningless in this age of the portal. They have to recruit the mix right now, or they have to recruit the right now, or the right mix. Years ago, that was 3 or 4 year process. Now it's yearly. I still have faith in Golding. Hashtag minor talk. Isao Hermosillo, this program needs change. One too many times fans have been asked to take a leap of faith only to be let down. It's unfortunate, but it's a business. Time to move on. Hunter Pennypacker here on the program. LOL, extension. Only UTEP Athletics would do something like that. Who in their right mind would reward 3 straight conference losing seasons and a terrible year like this? If that happens, whoever's behind it needs some sort of psychological evaluation. This is coming in from GTR underscore Evo. With the step up to the Mountain West, kind of still need to overhaul the roster. Coaching change will help, but the future at the moment is bleak. Quinn at Quinn Dows, time to move on. Poncho, so what's the next move for Jim Center? Will he extend Golding after an okay season that could have and should have been better? Does he replace Golding in the next few months? This is coming in from Adrian. I'm not happy with Joe Golding, but I'm also tired of starting over again every few years. Winning seasons are good enough for me. Let's run it back again. Brian is joining us next, 915-505-6009. After that, we'll get to Ruben here on the program. Brian, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, y'all. I kind of wanted to reflect more on minor talk as a whole, this whole academic year compared to today's loss, because if you were to ask me, I believe that we were going to lose this game regardless of what happened yesterday. Even though yesterday's win was good, I still don't have much faith considering how good Liberty is. But besides that, it was honestly one of the best years of minor talk that I've ever called into, because about a year ago, I started calling in more frequently into the program and had a lot of fun ever since. Y'all do an amazing job with your program and all that. So it's been a lot of fun to be on call, making you upset sometimes, Adrian. But besides the point, really looking forward to the upcoming year, especially in football because of how promising the program is looking. I know we've been that way for decades, but who knows? Maybe we can turn it around. It's been a great year. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thank you, Brian. You never get me mad. You know, there's only maybe once or twice I've been dumbfounded by the call, but I never use the word mad. So good stuff, Brian. Thank you for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009. Really, the only time I get mad is like disrespect or something like that. So good stuff, Brian. Appreciate your phone call. Ruben is next up with us. Liberty defeats UTEP 81-60. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. Our Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game coming up later as we continue on 600 ESPN El Paso. Next up with us, 915-505-6009, Ruben, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, guys. You guys are doing an amazing job as always. I just kind of want to echo what the last couple of callers have said about your program. You know, you guys always make it entertaining. You guys always give out good facts. I don't agree with you all the time, but then if we did, imagine how boring that would be, right?
Very boring. I think a lot, you know what? I think people actually sometimes like disagreeing with me more than they like agreeing. And that's a cool thing. Like, I want people to have their own opinions.
Sure, sure. You know, you guys were all taking your pick at who you would ask to come in as a general manager or whatever the title was that you gave them. I got out of the car to put in gas, so I didn't hear all of them. But, you know, the one person that comes to my mind is Greg Foster. And, you know, he's played in the NBA. He played at UTEP. He's coached in the NBA. He's won a world title in the NBA championship, a world championship. And I know that he still has connections here. So I think that he would I think he would make a good candidate. You know what I mean?
Ruben, I want to tell you this, okay? Because Greg Foster was not mentioned by us. I think he's a great name that we did not mention. And the reason I think he's a great name is not just that he coached in the NBA, not just that he played in the NBA, not just that he cares so much about UTEP, but he did all this, and this is like all recent. Like he was, when this job was open, when Rodney Terry left, Greg Foster wanted to be in the consideration for this head coaching job. I don't know, like maybe a general manager role is something where that he would be willing to actually embrace if that would be the case. So as far as a realistic choice, somebody who actually cares about the city deeply and somebody who's got a lot of roots here in El Paso, like you mentioned, Greg Foster, he knows all the players in the NBA now. Like he could hook some of these guys up with like, hey, by the way, this is what Trae Young does in the offseason as a point guard. Like he knows these kinds of things because he recently coached with the Hawks, the Bucks, you know, and so on.
No, that's a good point. And, yeah, you're right. And I forgot to mention that he had applied for the job when Terry left. You know, but realistically, I mean, you know, I got to say that I just have a gut feeling that Coach Golding's coming back. My gut just tells me that. And I know there's a lot of people calling for his head. My gut feeling tells me that he's coming back. And, you know, you guys mentioned at the beginning of the show that, you know, you're going to have that press, that emergency minor talk because of something. Yeah, I kind of feel that way also. And I'm going to stress it by saying I feel that very, very strongly. So you guys keep up the good work. You know, it's sad that the season ended the way it did today because I thought that yesterday, you know, I'm always getting down on the Miners, you know, when they lose and stuff because, like I've said before, I'm a big, huge Miner fan. And, I you know, I've gotten to the point, and I've been at the point where I just expect so much more from them. And when they come up short, it hurts. And today is no exception. You know, I hope that the guys that are eligible to come back next year are willing to make that sacrifice to follow this thing through and get us that Conference USA championship next year. That would be amazing. But again, I just think that, you know, they did what they were expected to do today. And I mean, realistically, Liberty, I mean, you know, they're the top of the top right now. So, yeah. So I'll end on that. And as always, thank you guys for taking my call. God bless you guys, and thanks again for everything you guys do.
God bless, Ruben. Appreciate your phone call. It was great seeing you yesterday at the District West, so appreciate you stopping by and saying hi and hanging out with us for a little bit. Hey, and I thought it was really some really good comments right there, so good stuff by Ruben here on the program as we continue. A couple other tweets to get to. I shouldn't say a couple. We got a lot of tweets to get to, and I apologize. I'm not reading all of them here on 600 ESPN El Paso. I'm trying to do my best. Sergio Franco. My pal, bring in Tim, Mr. UTEP two-step himself, protege of Don Haskins, and could be a great fit to coach and maybe bring the players and coaches. This is coming from VX. ESPN equals center and Golding bootlickers. Why isn't coaching change an option on ESPN El Paso? Admit it. Your reporting is filtered through Jim Center. It's true, Sal.
He's so right. How did he know?
How did he know? Man. We had to clear this with Jim. Somebody give Jim. He's in the back. Alberto's saying something.
He's in the back. Jim Center, come forward.
Oh man. Come on, guys. Come on. I love it. This is from Michael G. Overhaul the program means coaching change. That's what he was replying
to BX.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Michael G., who is standing up for us. Tristan Pence, is great to see him and Laura today. 18-5 seasons might be acceptable at other programs. If Golding remains the coach at UTEP, he and his staff have to recruit in the offseason and bring in players that will win a championship. The program has declined in stature over the past 4 years. El Paso demands a winner in 2026. A salute to Kevin Kalu and Frazier III to being loyal to UTEP basketball. In today's college sports, fans rarely get to watch players for 3+ seasons. I hope most of the roster returns next year. Retention is key to winning in college sports these days. A heartfelt thank you to Adrian and all the guys who work extra hours to hear us fans out on Minor Talk. You guys are therapists for us Minor fans and do a great job. Can't wait till football season. Have a great summer, you guys. Appreciate you, Tristan Pence. Okay, guys, I want to ask you, Zay. You're going to be the one who remembers the seniors. We're going to go senior by senior, and because I know you did this on Twitter next, but for everybody else has the assignment right now of, and I'm talking about you, Sal, I'm talking about you, George, and you, Alberto. Three guys to bring back for next year, and only three. Not honorable mentions, not, you know, outside looking in. Three guys. You have three choices on this roster eligible to bring back next year. Who are your three players? So, Zay, I'm going to start with you as far as recapping the seniors, like we were hearing from Tristan Pence. We don't see guys stay 4 years at any place. Kevin Kalu, you know, I saw a comment. This is from some guy, Chris, who said, you know, Kevin, he was saying something like Otis Frazier had a weird season or a weird career. Kevin Kalu, man, had a strange one, strange career, because there is points where I thought, man, there's no chance he comes back next year. There's no chance that he decides to return to this squad. There's no chance the coaching staff wants him to return. So there, in my eyes, the coaching staff should want somebody different. But these two, and I'm talking about Golding and the staff and Kevin Kalu, they have stayed with each other over the 4 years, and they saw it all the way through. Today, the stat line didn't look good. And, you know, you could look at some of the big games and how at times Kevin Kalu doesn't perform, you know, and sometimes, to be fair to him, when the team isn't working, he's the only one who's like the engine and the motor. He's going to play at least 5 years overseas and play in international basketball or whatever that looks like, Zay. He will be a pro basketball player. Not really a big question in my eyes. But how will you remember Kevin Kalu?
I'll remember Kevin Kalu as a good defender. I remember him as the Joe Golden guy to hedge the screen.
There you go.
He was perfect at that, and that's why he was always on the floor, always playing for this team. I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, for a guy, he stays all 4 years as a UTEP player, but what did he like accomplish during those 4 years? A conference championship appearance, an appearance in, you know, the basketball classic. That's just about it for Kevin Kalu. I don't think he had any accolades. May have made an all-freshman team, but I don't think he did. So at the end of the day, look, big men are hard to find, and I always say don't take your big man for granted. I'm not going to take Kevin Kalu for granted, right? That's a guy whose motor we knew would stay on 24/7. He was relatively new to the game of basketball. He still is. But at the end of the day, Kevin Kalu should be taken as, look, that's 4 years of development under Joe Golding. Do you think those 4 years, was that as big of a jump as you wanted to see out of a guy like that? And my answer is no. So that's why I'm a little bit worried about the development of guys like David Terrell, right? Is he going to be able to develop in this system past what he has been able to show, which is he's already good, but can he get any better?
The Kevin Kalu numbers, to your point, Zay, he played 25 games in his freshman year, averaged 1.5 points per game, wasn't really like the scoring guy ever in his career. Sophomore year, 3.7 points. Junior year, last year, 3.9 points, to your point about development. Just didn't really skyrocket in the numbers or the points per game. This year, 8.1, so he almost doubles his points per game this year. The rebounding numbers were the best in his career, 5.8 rebounds this season compared to last season's, and you know, all the other categories also trended upward. Like, he had more steals this year than any other time in his career. He was just too shy of his career best in blocks. So for Kalu, had his best season of his career, and still that may not have been enough. Frazier the third, how do we talk about his game?
Otis Frazier, I mean, I think he was all around a playmaker. You know, I think from the first time he stepped foot on the court for the minors, I knew this guy had something, right, compared to what we had seen at George Mason, which was basically nothing. I mean, this guy came to UTEP unproven. I mean, he really just had some practice tape, a couple of game buckets, and no one really knew what to expect out of a guy like that, and he exceeded the expectations, right? He saw the court early, went down with an injury in his first year, and never really got back that year. Second year kind of stepped up, third year kind of stepped up, but I think the biggest thing with him is he was just a little too inconsistent, right? He needs to be more consistent on a night-to-night basis, because there were some games where, you know, it kind of just felt like Otis was kind of tuned out, maybe not tuned out, but just not fully in 100% with the game that he was playing. And we know that he could get buckets. We knew that he was a really, really, you know, solid defender, but how will we remember Otis Frazier? I think it's the same thing with Kevin Kalu. What does he have to show over his 3 years other than the fact that he can get a couple of buckets and he can get some steals, right? He's obviously a great player. He does have the 1,000-point mark as a minor, which is hard to do in these days. But, you know, it's sad that he never was able to, you know, really catapult this team to a conference contender.
And maybe we looked at him wrong. Like, I don't think he ever should have been the guy offensively. Like, I don't remember last year's day, they never even drew up a play for him. So maybe it's a little unfair as far as our judgment of him as the focal guy. You heard Golding after the game saying how he played out of position all year. What if they had Calvin Solomon back for one more year and Frazier could play the true three and be in the backcourt with everybody else? Like, those are the things you'll never know. Because quote unquote he was playing out of position. That's what they were according to the staff. Last player, Baylor Hebb. I just feel like the way that he came onto the scene is probably the story. Like the fact that he was just kind of a victim of the NCAA eligibility rules, and he ends up being immediately eligible last year, midway into the year. So his whole year's a write off last year, but it did still count toward his eligibility, unfortunately for him. And now he's out. That was it. That was just a 2 year run, and the first year didn't really count.
Yeah, Baylor Hebb, I mean, it's one of those, it's hard to recruit backup guys, right, depth guys, and
true.
He, at the end of the day, whether he'd like to hear it or not, he was always going to be a depth guy. I never really saw him finding his way onto the court, sadly. It's tough, right? He was a little undersized to be, you know, just a spot-up shooter in the corner. He wasn't really the greatest defender. All in all, just really wasn't the shooter we expected him to be. But I will say this, Baylor Hebb, when he was on the court, he always looked like he was tuned in. He was always, you know, trying, I think is the word. He was always giving it his all. And even though sometimes he'd get burnt defensively, he'd miss an open shot. I think he shot like 20% from the field overall this year. He did look like he was trying to earn his minutes. So you can't knock a guy, like I said, can't knock a guy for wrestling. And it just sucks the way that you know, the whole eligibility thing went. He just never was able to find his footing as a minor.
Yeah, I'm with that. All right, Sal, let's open it up. Let's talk about three players you want back next year. Three wish list players. Who do you want?
All right, obvious choice. I think we all know who that is. That's going to be Terrell Jr.
Oh, I thought you were going to say KJ Thomas.
All right, obviously there. But the next two were kind of hard, but I just got to say, give me Elijah Jones. That's one.
Nice.
I think just, and I'll repeat what I said last time, but the way that he attacks the glass, he obviously numbers should be better, don't get me wrong, but just the point of emphasis to go up there and be upset with the ball. Like he's putting the basketball in timeout for not going to him and listening, right? So I appreciate that. And the other one, it was a toss-up. I won't say between who. I'll just pick him out, right? I'm going to go Barnes.
Yeah, Devin Barnes. I like it. So, David Terrell Jr., Elijah Jones, Devin Barnes. All right, George, give me your three. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to copy Sal here. David Terrell Jr., obviously number one. Number two is Corey Camper. I think he still shows the highest ceiling scoring-wise potential on this team. And then lastly, I'm going to go with Elijah Jones also. I just love his hustle. I love his energy. The guy seems like he could fit that four role real nice. He crashes the board hard, and he can stretch the floor on a face-up, so...
Okay, Alberto, give me your four, or three.
Okay, my original three were exactly like Sal's, and then I heard Corey Camper get mentioned, and then I started spiraling because I forgot about right. Corey Camper completely. I was like, no!
I forgot about that JUCO rule, so yeah. So, but I said what I said, so.
Now I'm a little bummed. But look, I will say this about Kevin Kalu. I just want to comment on something that Zay said about, you know, what do you have to show for it? Nothing, and man... just thinking about it, I got a little emotional, but man, sometimes that's life, you know? I know it's disappointing for Miner fans to just think about how he has nothing to show for after 4 years, but I'll say this, this is the way I see it. He easily could have coupled or parlayed that championship berth or that championship appearance last year into a comfier gig than this one. Something like Miami, something like New York, something cool like that, and he didn't. He stayed here and he toughed it out, knowing how tough it is, like how everyone talks about everyone on Minor Talk and what they call in and say about him. So I, for one thing, I commend that, because you easily could have taken the money, gotten out of here, and gotten something a whole lot cooler, and things would have been a whole lot easier for you. And a lot of athletes do that nowadays. So
he's playing for the University of Buffalo in New York? Like, who is he playing for in New York? No, I'm just kidding.
Like a D2.
St. John's.
St. John's. He could have played for Patino. There you go. Good stuff, Sal. All right, Zay, give me your three. You weren't tasked with this, but you're going to do this off the cuff.
Yeah, I know Elijah Jones is a popular pick, but guards aren't as expensive, okay? Guards in the transfer portal, I don't think they're as expensive, but it's tough to go out and get guards that know your system. So I got my three: Devon Barnes, David Terrell, and Corey Camper. Those are my three.
Yeah.
Spend your NIL that you have on a good wing that could shoot and a decent big. Because at the end of the day, I don't think UTEP's going to land a superstar really good big. Whether they keep Elijah Jones, Devon Barnes, it doesn't matter. I don't think they're going to land one. I don't think that the system has shown that we're going to give the ball to you in the post, one-on-ones. And bigs are expensive, and I don't think UTEP's willing to spend that much money on you know, a big man that at the end of the day could really only be averaging 10 points in this system.
We've been told that UTEP structures are NIL, where they kind of go, everybody gets like kind of even, like it's almost evenly distributed, right?
Piece of the pie.
A little bit, yeah, exactly, Sal. You're right on that. But the one side to it that I would like them to think about this offseason is, what if they restructured NIL? Like, they pulled back and they said, all right, we got a budget, like whatever that pie is, let's say it's half a mil, let's say it's 500,000, right? Let's say they say 250 is going to go to retaining. Whatever that's going to be it. Like, once that's out, I'm sorry, we can't retain everybody like on the team. Once that pie is out, all right, David Terrell, here's your bag. You know, here's your bag, Corey Camper. Here's your bag, you know, Devon Barnes. And after that's run out, then the rest of that 250 is to spend on everybody else that you're getting in the transfer portal. And I'd go out there and spend a bag on a big, like, to your point, Zay, because I think it is hard. But I'd go out and spend a couple different zeros on that check when it's all said and done. Let's make it happen if it means getting a difference-making big.
Yeah, so I did the quick math, right? If you go 250, let's just say right here they have the 500K, and 250 divided by 3 is 83. So that's 83,000 for Corey, David, and Devon. I think that'll suffice for them, right, to stay. I think that would suffice.
Man!
It would, until, like, yeah, this is a booster for Clemson. What do you think about 150?
That's unfortunately, you know? Like, the thing is, like, that's what's going on. Like, that's what actually happens in DMs. It doesn't happen like over the phone. It happens in people's, like, direct messages. Like, right now, I'm sure these guys, and it sucks, right? But, like, if you're a college basketball player, you're getting flooded right now in your messages. Like, hey, what about over here? Yeah. Like, have you ever thought about going over here? And it's sometimes a coach that knows your coach from high school, or it's a high school friend who wants to bring you over to their team because they're over here. And it's just player movement that never really stops. So every, you know, they did a study last year. College basketball players are playing on an average of 2.3 schools per, you know, college, wow, 4-year college. So, you know, people are transferring left and right. Sometimes it's by choice. Sometimes it's not. You know, that's another side to it. So there's a little bit of a NIL rundown here for you on the program. All right. No one said KJ Thomas. No one said Trey Horton. No one said Derek Hamilton, who is eligible to come back per that JUCO rule. No one said Ahmad Bynum. You know, he was just dismissed for the CUSA tournament. Could they rectify things? Okay, I'm just kidding on that one, okay? But everybody else on that list, I'd say, as far as KJ Thomas, Trey Horton, Derek Hamilton, all eligible to return next year if they choose to. I'm sticking with the Zay list. I'm going Barnes, Camper, and David Terrell on my side as far as players I want to retain. Back to Twitter and X. And by the way, our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We've got the fantasy wrap-up. We've got to talk a little bit about Rodney, Terry, and then we're going to put a bow on the season, and then we're done here on Minor Talk. So if you want to weigh in one last time, now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number if you'd like to weigh in. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600 ESPN El Paso online. Clyde the Burro is checking in on the program. His comments toward believing he's back. I can't see how UTEP lets him finish his last year without an extension. He doesn't deserve an extension. This is Pick My Axe 915. He won 20 games with Rodney Terry's players. And you look back on that season and realize he should have got way more out of that team. This team has been awful since Sule Boom left. This is coming in from Christopher Rivera, our pal. I guess it's the transfer portal that makes it so challenging. UTEP men's basketball program seems to only serve as a stepping stone these days. Lots of talent definitely comes through this town, but hard to keep things locked in. Poncho, no, we already read this one. Bring back Minor Rush. I'm torn with this one. I know the guy can coach because Rodney Terry wouldn't have won 20 with that team. This man knows basketball, but I just don't have faith in him anymore. This is from Chi-Town Minor. I think year one is key to understanding what we have. Terry recruited better talent and Golden got 20 wins, even after installing his style of play, which they weren't used to. His style might work, but can he ever recruit star players to come to El Paso and want to play like that? Chris Munoz, might sound weird, but I think we let him have one more year. This is from Clearwater. Why is this man so sure that he should be our coach next year? 4 years and no positive movement forward. Losing record in CUSA, no NIT bid, take away the easy cupcake non-Division I wins, and his record is shameful. Joe and his staff need to go. George Cooper, no disrespect, coach, but if you can't win in Conference USA, you're going to get your ass whooped in Mountain West. Oh, man. Minor in Wisconsin. It was the same when Coach Dimmel finished his last season. He was saying his staff need to be or hit the recruiting trail. A couple days later, he was fired. Maybe the same for Coach Joe Golding. RIP Dimmel. Snappy at Snappy Minor. When was the last time the fan base was excited with the hype of basketball recruit? Not the same way it's been with football as of late. To answer your question, Golding needs a top-notch recruiter on his staff. Terry, Floyd, Barbie, they all could recruit much better than Golding. Hashtag Minor Talk. Clearwater, definitely deja vu from that last Dana Dimmel year. Buy out his last year just like Dimmel and get Hooten or some other guy that gives us a chance. Golding doesn't. That has been proven. 8th place out of 10 in CUSA is a disgrace. This was a veteran group. Coaching sucked at the end. This is more coming in on Twitter and X. This is coming in from Minor Illustrated. Actually, this is from Sam Guzman. I gotta give him some credit on this one. He just asked Athletic Director Jim Center about Joe Golding's future as a men's basketball coach and head coach for next season. Center said, quote, Joe has another year on his original 5-year contract and he is our coach.
There it is. For now.
There it is for now. Simply put. Emphasis on the simply. This is coming in from Brian. Don't really care about the loss. I wasn't thinking highly of this team even after yesterday's win. Basketball deserves better, and as someone who's become a diehard fan at a young age, my colleagues and I are craving a winner. Maybe football will improve or impress. We'll see. Sucks we won't be able to see these tattoos come to fruition. Albert Chuco, Sal is my pal. Zay is all the way. You failed us, UTEP. I'm going to make the bet when football comes around that'll bring back the idea. Y'all just wait and see. We didn't get the tattoo, guys. We didn't even really talk about this much, Sal. But that's the reality. We aren't having a tattoo. It was a big deal over the last 24 hours. Some people on Twitter and X just jumped on board. They were saying even if they beat Liberty, they're going to get a tattoo. They were even saying, you know, if my mom asked me if I want breakfast this morning, I'm going to get a tattoo. It was that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was going to be automatic, man. Just like that bid that they would have gotten, assuming they'd won on Saturday. They won today, but then they would have to win, you know, games on games on games. But man, that sucks. I was looking forward to it.
You were looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was gonna get like a.
When's the last time you got a tat?
Honestly, bro, I don't even know. Probably like 16.
Yeah,
almost 10 years. Wow, that's crazy.
Wow, 10 years almost. That's good stuff. It could have been your first tattoo in 10 years, Sal. That would have been pretty cool. It could have been Zay's first tattoo. He's itching to get a tattoo.
Yeah, I was ready, but, you know, guess we'll have to wait.
maybe wait for graduation, right, Zay?
Maybe wait for Next week. No, I'm just playing. yeah, maybe wait for graduation. When if UTEP wins a CUSA championship of football. What?
Maybe you can get Naisha Burger's like all-time record. Like somebody was telling me, this was Pablo at the district. He was like, just keep saying on Minor Talk that UTEP is a track school. Maybe you can get a track time.
Yeah, they are a track school that there's no money. They would be like absolutely one of the best programs if they had some money.
Yeah, and a little bit better resources, that's for sure. This is Andrew at Andrew West Texas. Whoever that Jake caller was from earlier was spot on. El Paso Visuals Deportivos. Isn't Coach Joe Golding under contract? Isn't he coming back no matter what unless he's relieved of his duties? We should honor his contract. Don't think UTEP Athletics wants to pay two coaches next year. Good point. Andrew, I'm going to remember Kevin Kalu for his dunks. Minor Illustrated, fans need to talk with their wallets next year then. Hashtag Minor Talk, hashtag unbelievable. El Paso Visuals Deportivos, no mention of NIL. That's the only thing that's going to get the best player in these times. Wake up. This isn't 1966 nor 2010. Cash is king. Demanding a winner in 26 without contributing to NIL or buying season tickets is foolishness. Demanding? No mommin. Hashtag Minor Talk. This is Minor Illustrated. Now ask Heather Wilson about Jim Center's future as athletic director. Hashtag not okay. This is and by the way, everybody who's like reacting like crazy to the Sam reporting, guys, come on, chill. First off, chill out. The Jim Center quote today was as vanilla as possible. He's not. That was just to give a quote right now before they've actually given the real quote or before they've actually decided on what they're going to do for the future. So, yeah, just don't get too crazy about that quote right there. Just take it for what it was. And, you know, they're planning. What are they going to say? Yeah, we're going to evaluate things over the offseason. No, they're going to be cryptic like minutes after the CUSA tournament loss. Like, that's PR 101. Joe Chacon, we all need this right now, and it's a picture of Scotty Walden going crazy. Hashtag, it takes a special person to be a Minor fan. Hashtag, it's going to reset with the portal. Hashtag, it's time to start the farewell CUSA tour. Hashtag, repping from El Chuco now. Good stuff, man. Good to hear from you all year long, Joe Chacon. And we'll see you at more games and at the district next year for sure. That's definitely going to be the case. Guys, I think we're starting to wind it down, which is sad. I'm trying to keep this one as long as we can go here on Minor Talk. But evidently, the road has finally come to an end. And it's okay. You know, it's been a great season here on Minor Talk. We've really enjoyed ourselves. We've really had an amazing time. We've taken the program to a very high level. By the way, I got to read this one from Mr. E. Baylor Hebb was trash. Come on. And then Gabe Martinez, AD change. And then Joe Chacon, where's the love tonight? Getting ghosted by Adrian Hurts, deeper than the Minor loss. I just got a chance to see your tweets there, Joe Chacon. I apologize. Pinky also checked in. So thank you, Pinky. You're listening. I know. A lot of people are also chiming in. And I'm missing other people, and I appreciate everybody who's chiming in. Guys, we got to get to our fantasy wrap. That's where we're going to go, okay? I'm going to check in at last, okay, by default, okay? My fantasy basketball team was we all picked different players from this UTEP basketball team at the early part of the season. We made big predictions. We made big thoughts and all of this. My team, quote-unquote, we snake drafted this one right here. My team was consisted of Otis Frazier III, Trey Horton III, and KJ Thomas. And yeah, I'm gonna check in. Actually, Zay's fourth, and I'm gonna go in at three. Zay, do you wanna tell everybody your team?
My team, which consists of only one current UTEP player.
Two players have been kicked off the team on your team.
Was Ahmad Bynum, Devon Barnes, and DeCannon Wickware. And sadly, DeCannon was the first to go. He didn't do much for my team anyways. We really didn't miss him, but we certainly did miss Ahmad. And I think if my team had finished out the regular season, if Ahmad Bynum had maybe not done whatever he done for at least another week, I think we would have secured third place. But sadly, you know, even with Devon Barnes' 18 points, it wasn't enough to carry the load of three guys. So I will take last place.
What's going to happen to Ahmad next year?
He'll end up at a Division I school. And
can I make a prediction? I think he's gonna level up.
Yeah, I think he is. There's no doubt. Coaches, they think they can become counselors when they see a guy who can shoot 45% from three. So, yeah, no doubt in my mind that he will end up at a higher level than Conference USA.
Okay. I think, okay, so the last two were me and Zay. Zay was last. I was third. All right, now we got to get – George is going to be the – George of the Jungle is going to be the one who comes up with the vote for the number one team. So, Alberto, give us your case. Give us the case for your team right now, and give us your team.
My team is David Terrell, the forever minor for me. David Terrell Jr., Derek Hamilton, and Baylor Head.
Yeah, it's Sal.
Yeah, Sal won. I'll take a strong second on my best days.
I'm pounding my chest for Sal because he's the winner.
Guys. Thank you, guys. Let me reel off my team, okay? I'm going to say true leader in minutes because he's only 3 minutes less than the leader in minutes. That being David Terrell Jr., Corey Camper Jr., 944 minutes. And I say true minutes because there was some action that he missed. Also with Corey Camper Jr., just a monster defensively, 61 steals. When it comes to offense, he's diming it out. He has 60 assists to his credit, logging in the minutes. And then as far as points go, 313 points. That's just one of them. Let me go with the guy who probably had the best senior turnaround in the final couple of weeks, that being Kevin Kalu. Stock is all the way up. And you know what? I'm still not selling because I want to see what the next step holds. So Kevin Kalu, that is my other guy. And another guy, the one I talk about, the tenacious rebounder, Elijah Jones. I appreciate all the love, guys. And I couldn't have done this without you. I want to say thank you to my family. Thank you to 600 ESPN El Paso for broadcasting the draft as well. And yeah, man, it feels really good.
Oh, man, I was cracking up back here. That was great, Sal. Congratulations to Sal Montes as the winner of our inaugural fantasy basketball teams right here. And, George, next time we'll get a chance to draft. Or maybe you'll draft the team. Maybe you'll just join the team. But either way, you are the winner. Zay, do you get a trophy for the last place?
No, but, you know, unlike UTEP, I don't have to go through a rebuilding year. I'm going to be back next year better than ever, reloaded with a better team. So, they're going to extend my contract either way.
Going back to the center quote, right? Joe has another year on his original five-year contract, and he is our coach. Sal Montes, ask me about my future here in Minor Talk.
Adrian Broaddus, what's your future with Minor Talk?
Minor Talk has another year on its original 6-year contract, and Minor Talk is our show. There, that's the equivalent.
Whoa!
Right there.
No way!
There's no substance right there. Oh. That's what I was saying. I mean, there's no substance. And it's okay. Like, I don't like the fact that he even had to comment on it, and I don't like the quote. Like, just don't, like, let this simmer for a week. Let this die out for, like, a month, and then let's revisit all of this. Like, as far as what the real plan is for success in men's basketball for the future and what the real strategy is moving forward. Like, what's their 5-year plan? Because it's not about next year in the farewell tour, like Joe Chacon was saying. I'm already in the Mountain West myself. Like, I've already planted my flag in the Mountain West if I'm UTEP, and I'm holding it to that standard. And anything less is below standard. That's just my reality right there, Sal. And where they're at right now is below standard because they were 8th seed in a 10-team Conference USA, which, by the way, adds Missouri State and Delaware next year.
It's below Conference USA standard as well. It's below the WAC standards when they were still in the WAC. You know what I mean? This is just so far below it. And I understand the frustration because this is going to be three conferences that you've been bottom tier in for a decent amount of time, whether it be all in football. I know it's not fair to point it all on basketball as well, because football is going to be the breadwinner, so to speak. If you win there, you're going to be solid. But they haven't been good in football in all of those conferences. And then for basketball, they haven't been good pretty much since early Conference USA. We're talking Memphis still in the league. Some of the guys that we were vouching for to be the ambassadors and GMs of these programs hadn't even gotten recruited yet. You know? Like, that's how far back it goes. So, man, they desperately need a winner. And this last year in Conference USA, it's so pivotal for that next step going into the Mountain West, because you got to be able to go in there with some momentum. You can't just be happy getting invited to the party. You got to make an impression.
Yeah, that's right. You got to be the party. Forget being invited. Yeah. Be the party. Host the party. Let everybody know that you're at the party. Like, be the loudest in the room. You know, that kind of thing. All right, we're going to get closing thoughts from everybody around the room, but let's pay the bills and let's talk a little bit more about all the great people who supported us here on My Miner Talk, including Inspo Lens. We are live currently right now on Inspo Lens. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. Positive action for good, positive storytelling, all on Inspo Lens. Check them out online. Watch people's stories, gain inspiration, and learn about the world around us. Subscribe to watch all our content, new content every month. All the content is free on their website. It's InspoLens.com. All you have to do is sign up for free. You can even click the donate button. If you've watched Miner Talk here on Inspo Lens, you like what Inspo Lens does. Chris does an amazing job with Inspo Lens, and check him out online, InspoLens.com. Really appreciate Chris and everything he did for us here on Miner Talk, taking us to the next level and letting you see us on Miner Talk for the first time ever here on this program this season. He joined us for football season and killed it here for us in basketball as well. Also want to give a big shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Miner Talk. They're open 365 here in El Paso. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, Jack in the Box is the perfect spot to go before and after every game, and we really appreciate Jack in the Box for all they did with us here all season long. Of course, we got to give a great shout out to Wind Supply El Paso, our hot hand of the game. Today, it's Devin Barnes. I mean, the first half, he was sizzling hot. 5 3-pointers in the game, 18 points to lead the Miners, 31 minutes. He also had 3 steals. He was very active today, 3 rebounds. Devin Barnes, El Paso's own, is our hot hand of the game, presented by Wind Supply El Paso. See why home builders make them their trusted HVAC system supplier. Visit the Find a Dealer tab online, windsupplyelpaso.com. Check out the Champion Dealers, Convair Air Dealers, and the Master Cool Dealers, all at windsupplyelpaso.com. Check them out online again, windsupplyelpaso.com. Guys, we want to give also a great shout out to the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, Nick Acosta, Isaac Amador, the great team at the District. The food was fantastic. I mean, that's the first and foremost. Love the food, the atmosphere, everybody who joined us at the District this year. Started with the game against Nebraska. That place was packed. We were a little late, and we walked into a crowd who was eager to watch some UTEP football with us. We enjoyed ourselves, had an amazing time, and then it closed out with the CUSA tournament here this past week, and there were a lot of people as well. So started the year hot, ended the year hot, where people actually showed up and wanted to say hi to us, hung out with us. It was great to meet people for the first time this year, and hey, if you've ever wanted to come watch a game with us or ever wanted to ever meet us, come out and join us at the District Pub and Kitchen West next year and years to come here. One of our sponsors here on Miner Talk as we continue. Guys, I guess this is how we do it. We're going to wrap up the season. Final thoughts. Let's go around the room. George, this was your first year with us here on Miner Talk, man. It was great to have you along with us, and this is it. Goodbye.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. It's probably going to be my last full-time year ever, so first and last, right? But no, thank you, Adrian, for the platform. It's just been a lot of fun to be able to share my voice here and to be able to comment on a school that's very dear to me. And they drive me crazy, but I still love UTEP. I'm a proud alum. And so on that note, I'm going to remember this team very harshly, very critically, inconsistent, as a team that was scared by their own fans playing a rival. In front of the commissioner whose conference the school is moving to. I mean, just disastrous. I think that NMSU game just encapsulates the entire season, and you can just look at it and be like, yeah, that was 2024-2025 UTEP basketball. Even before that, they had some bright moments with Louisville and Yale, but no, that's what it's going to be for me, just inconsistent, never able to really get their offense going, clicking, and their defense was bad. Honestly, they were third. I think they finished third in Conference USA, and third worst in Conference USA in defensive field goal percentage allowed. So just not up to snuff and very inconsistent for me.
Okay. George, I appreciate you all season long, man. It's been great having you with us on the ride. Want to also mention, by the way, Inspo Lens is also on YouTube now. Stories are on YouTube. Check them out on YouTube at Inspo Lens TV. That's the channel name. Couple other tweets to get to. I didn't see these, but I'm now just seeing them here on the program. El Paso Visuals Deportivo. So if UTEP NIL is split up evenly, that's interesting. Perhaps that's the issue. Players are mad about even splits. Speaking of, trying to figure out how all the NIL dollars for Miner Talk crew split up. What's the split in the 600 ESPN El Paso studios? Adrian be balling on and off the court, huh? No, that is not the case. Pinky. This was from earlier today. Sorry, Pinky, I'm not going to read that one. This is El Paso Visuals Deportivos again. I think they should keep Coach Joe Golding, but I'll say at the Haskins statue reveal, I asked Tim Hardaway about the job, and he was open and straight up told me, man, if I wanted the job, but no one reached out. If he ever leaves, might be time to make a big splash to bring in recruits, okay? That's from Visuals Deportivos here on the program as we continue. Let's go to you, Alberto. Let's get some final thoughts from you.
Yeah, I mean, the season didn't end, obviously, the way you want it to for the Miners. And what I'm going to take home is that 70% shooting in the second half from the field by Liberty, and also 60% from the three in the second half by Liberty. That'll give me that was sitting through something like that, it's hard to stomach. And you know, it was causing physical harm to Steve Kaplowitz. He was literally getting red in the face watching that team just go off on the Miners. It was causing a visceral reaction inside of him. So that feeling is what I'm going to take home, and I can't wait for UTEP football.
Okay, Zay, let's go some closing thoughts. Your next time you join us, you might be UTEP Zay. You might be a UTEP Miner Zay.
That's crazy. Yeah, I joined this program when I was a sophomore.
Is this year three?
This is year three.
Wow.
This is year three. So it's been fun. It's been amazing. And I love this show, just like ESPN Plus loves this show, you know. And, yeah, I mean, closing thoughts, it's disappointing, like always, you know. Man, I don't even need closing. I think everybody knows. I feel like how everybody feels right now. Disappointed for the, you know, 100th gazillion straight year with UTEP basketball. And
Maybe one day.
You know, I've gone basically my whole life without some good UTEP hoops. So
oh my god,
I'm 18 now. So I was just expecting by the time I graduated high school, maybe they would have won a bowl. Maybe they would have made a tournament. Sadly, I will go my whole K through 12 years without any real UTEP success on UTEP in basketball and UTEP football. But
depressing.
On the next year.
Maybe when you're a freshman, that's when they turn it around, Zay.
Yeah, well, it might be too late at that point.
Walk on Zay. No one's been floating that out there, huh? No one said walk on Zay, punter, kicker, and 3-point specialist?
They need me. Yeah, it's quite obvious who's been missing out on these teams. UTEP Zay. That's who they need.
No one said that as a general manager.
No. And hey, this is breaking news.
There you go. Sal, all right, Sal, final closing thoughts. I don't even know what year this is. I lost count.
Yeah, you know what? No, it was fun at times, obviously frustrating at times. You got to see some good games. They got to hang with the best of them. They hung with the worst of them, and the worst hung with them, you know, just in the same way that some of the best would fall to UTEP's level. But that wasn't the case tonight. Liberty showcased why they finished with the record that they did. But back to UTEP, though, you know, some highlights, some nice plays, and some fun moments as well. But quickly, I want to give a shout out to these three on the side. George, you know, has some big moves going on for him. That's awesome.
Alberto, that's right.
Recently graduated too, not too long ago. And then the man right there, the next UTEP star, Zay Galindo, graduating from high school. So all guys have something monumental going on for them. Congratulations to you guys. You guys make the show.
Yeah, and we're leveling up here, Sal. So we're doing well every single year. We're doing better and better. So the Miner Talk crew grows, but the core always remains the same. And appreciate you as always, Sal. You're the reason why we get to do these shows, and especially the reason why we get to do live shows, the reason why we get to air all these broadcasts and get a chance to stay late here on this program. Even though you have obligations, you have your family, you make a lot of sacrifice in order to make this happen. So really appreciate you, Sal. And
appreciate you guys, again,
appreciate all the listeners. I mean, this show, again, doesn't have a lot of success, doesn't have the vitriol, the excitement, the passion without the fans who make this show. And that's really what this is. This show, everybody, you know, was so kind with their thoughts and their comments here about us, but really it's a reflection of everybody else, and that's what we've always tried to say here on Minor Talk, is that the show is only as good as everybody else's here on this program, and we've had some excellent calls all year long. Our regulars, the people who call in only when they lose, the people who only call in when they win, the people who call in no matter what. So yeah, can't thank everybody here, the Minor Talk community, enough for all their support with us. And guys, everybody out here, enjoy the rest of your spring break. Go out. It's time for me to take a little bit of a break too. I'm excited for that, and just to be away from everything. This has been a long Minor Talk season. So, you know, it started in the Bahamas, then it went into football season, and then now we're here. So, yeah. It's another year in the books. Can't say it's been the worst. Can't say it's been the best. But I always will remember the good times and the fun ride here on Minor Talk. But that'll do it for us here on the program, guys. That's been a long-winded way of us signing off and giving our final thoughts. I've already given all my thoughts on basketball, so I feel good about where we're ending off. And we'll be back, hopefully sooner rather than later, for an emergency podcast here on the program, for whatever that might be. That'll do it for us here in the quarterfinal rounds. Liberty, top seed, defeats UTEP 81-64. George Guajardo, one last time. For Chris and Inspo Lens, one last time. For Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off. Thank you so much for listening to Minor Talk all season long, right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.